You've been awful loud lately. Time to start the show. There's George Winston playing in the background on the Yesterday in the Pleiades song, Andromeda with Love. But Buddy Boo is a little loud. I don't know if he's going to be censored from the show tonight or not, but he's awful loud. And of course, Steve Barish is getting ready to put his hat on, and it is September 30th. 2010. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
So how's everything? It's raining out here today. We got our first scattered showers of the year.
Yeah, it's been raining here all day, so.
Oh, good. Then we were on the same wavelength, the rain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been raining all day here. And heavy. It's not light rain. It's heavy rain.
Yeah, so you've been out running around in your bathing suit or what?
It's not that warm.
Huh?
It's pretty cool out here.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool.
You getting ready to put your car away for the winter?
No, I won't put that away till probably 1st of November, 2nd of November.
And then when do you take it out, like July or
August? Take it out probably around mid-April.
Don't you kind of miss it?
I sure do.
Why don't you get something that you can drive in the winter, you know? In the winter.
Well, yeah, I'd like to do that, but there's not much you can drive around here when you got 10 inches of snow, so not too much.
So what do you use, snowmobiles?
No, I just got a brand new 2011 Camry, so that should please me a lot.
Will that work in the snow?
Oh, yeah.
So you won't have a problem with that, then?
Really good car.
Cool.
I've had those for a long time, so really works well.
So we've been, doing a lot of work with our systems out here. And a lot of people are probably wondering, and I wanted to cover a quick topic real quick.
Sure.
And that's the subject of lasers. We sell a multitude of different colored lasers, and when you have this many lasers, there's a reason why we have so many colors, the primary color being red, and then and we have the yellow laser, and then we have the laser, and then we have the violet laser and the blue laser.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start using these things, when they first start using our systems, you know, the Pyridyne systems, the upright, stand-up, standalone projectors.
Right.
We always provide lasers with them. Of course, you know, when you're buying I don't know if you have special deals on them and all that, but we provide a red and green laser for the unit.
Right.
And the reason that we provide those two is that you're activating the hydrogen atom in your body, and when you activate the hydrogen atom in your body, that is your consciousness.
Okay.
And so, depending on the time of day, red would be close to the head, be like the willpower of the body.
Okay.
And the violet would be, the relaxing side of the body, and the green is the thyroid in the middle, it's the doorway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now that we've gotten into the quantum side of it with these new quantum receptors that we have. And by the way, we should have another one out. Looks kind of like a cross on it. It's pretty neat. It should have been out last week. I don't know. The guy, jeweler, didn't have it ready for me for some reason. And these are all quantum entangled devices, and it's good to expose them occasionally to a laser.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason for that is it starts what's called SPDC, which we've written about in articles, which is spontaneous parametric down conversion, which is a physics term. And what that does, because we're working the hydrogen atom,
okay,
with the red and green laser, it connects you with whatever it connects your thoughts and your feelings together and sends them out to whatever they need to be connected to cause the manifestation. For example, if you're doing remote healing, you would want to connect with a person that you're working with. If you're going out on a material expedition, you want to connect with the material item that you want to have in your possession, those kinds of things.
Right.
And then what happens is the laser is then used while the thinking process is going on, and it sends two spontaneous quantum of light and energy, you know, a quantum being small.
Yes.
Simultaneously linking you with whatever you want to link to. And so a lot of people I'm seeing that people are not understanding that process, so I'm trying to clarify it a little bit. Then when you go into the violet laser or in the blue laser, people notice right away there's a pretty good price jump, and that's because the technology is more expensive to produce to get the lasing effect that we get with the red laser and the green one. And so more and more people, when we first started selling the violet lasers, there was only one company that made them. It was called Omnicron, and it was a laser that was made nearby in not too far from where we live here in Temecula.
Okay.
It was made by a company that's called Omnicron, only made a helium-cadmium laser, and it was a big... We had the tube alone on it was like $5,000, and then the mechanism to run it was probably another $20,000, the power supply. And that's all we had for violet for a long time. And if you dropped one of these things, as one of my housekeepers did several years ago, there was a $2,000 tube that was destroyed by her just setting it down hard. So that's how we started out. We did a lot of research with the helium-cadmium lasers.
Okay.
And, today we can do it in a diode. It's a 402 to 405 nanometer. And it's a lot cheaper now for anywhere between $400 and $2,000. You can get a very high-powered violet laser. The one we had in those days were only 15 milliwatts, so close to $35,000.
Wow.
That just shows you how the technology has changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know I bought a beautiful laser from you. I actually have about three or four lasers. But I bought a laser from you. It's a tube about 3 feet long, and it's a red laser, and it really works well on my projectors.
Yeah, you use it on them all the time or not?
No, not really, Fred. I use them when I want to. When my intuitive sense says to use it, I use it, and it lights up the whole house. I mean, it just really works well.
Yeah,
I point it right. Either at the stone or the center of the projector, and it really throws out a lot of light.
Yeah.
Tremendous light.
Well, the consciousness of these systems is expanding now, as now we're starting to sell. In other words, people are wanting not just to have four standalones, they're going for eight standalones, and even more than that, possibly. I don't know if you've talked to any of our clients that are purchasing multiple systems, but we're starting to see a trend in that. So that means to me, that tells me every time something like this starts to happen with the stuff that we make, it tells us that the consciousness is making a quantum jump and that we're getting a large influence from extraterrestrial sources.
Right.
And it's real interesting now, the fact that the United Nations, as you probably heard last week, has a UN ambassador for aliens.
And, really?
Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't, Fred.
Yeah. Well, the United Nations now has a new position for an ambassador, and that's to be to alien civilizations that come from other places than Earth. This is an official position in the United Nations that was set about last week. I knew they were kicking it around. And it's really interesting because if you start looking into some of the charters of our Constitution, some of the presidential orders, you'll see that it's actually illegal to make contact with extraterrestrials. It's forbidden by, in our own judicial system. It's really interesting how this is shaping up. At the same time, we're seeing more and more, the History Channel has a very strong link to the intelligence community.
Okay.
So they have, in the past, they present, although they have some great shows like Pawn Stars and American Pickers and those shows that are really fun, they do have some serious shows, you know. And the serious shows that they have, like people like Michio Kaku come on, some of our own hosts on BBS are hosting these shows. We see this.
Right.
And, but on the ET thing, it's pretty much been, BS and cover up and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So now the History Channel, I've noticed as of late, is starting to get more truthful with the expose of extraterrestrial and reverse alien technologies.
You know, I was reading The Inside Track this week, and I'm reading it actually this evening. And there was an article in there about Area 51 when you were there and you saw actual three, I believe, Palladian ships in Area 51.
Yeah, they were out there. Yeah.
Right. And that seems to be very interesting. And then there was a giant mother ship that you had seen out there.
Yeah, it covered up the whole sky. Sean Morris was the one that saw that.
Yeah.
It covered up the entire sky. And if you ever go to Area 51, and you'll it's kind of on a valley floor.
Okay.
You can see probably 20 miles in most directions to the mountains, you know.
Okay.
Around it. And it's got lower mountains. But you got a real, but you, when you look at just above the lower mountains, you probably got a mile, you know, several hundred miles of sky you're seeing.
Right, right.
And this ship came in and covered up a good portion of all of Area 51 was covered up. You couldn't see the sky from it. And a good area surrounding it was covered up by this huge Andromedan ship that came.
That's amazing.
All the stars were blotted out and everything. And it just stopped, made no sound, and just stayed there for about a half an hour.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's big. Wow.
Yeah, and I'd predicted that was going to happen. Because
you did.
It happened. It happened back in the mid-90s, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was even around 2000. I'm forgetting. No. Yeah.
I think it was either the late 90s, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had other experiences, but that one was... Then, of course, we had the one over in Phoenix, they call the Phoenix Lights. That was a pretty good-sized ship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
what do they do when they run into a ship? Like, there's nothing they can do.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
Some of the things that have been released on the news as of late are claiming that, and some governments are starting to step forward now and actually admit this stuff, that there's nothing we can do. There's been no sign of harm shown so far, but it wouldn't matter anyway. There's nothing much we can do.
I'm sorry to have thrown that in. I just was listening about the lasers. The lasers were very interesting. Then you had mentioned about the UFOs, so I thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, well, the UFOs are, it's interesting because when my friend worked out there with those grays out at Sandia Labs years back, you know, the grays are quite vulnerable. They have given us a tremendous amount of technology, and we've probably given a little bit to them. I mean, we gave them sanctuary and all of that, but it's real interesting to notice that. And I know for a fact that, you know, I've seen some of our Star Wars weapon systems that actually do bring down their technology, their ships. The Roswell crash, the Aztec crash, those are all from our radar sets hitting their... giving them a critical mass in their reactors.
Yeah.
Caused the ships to get too hot inside, which pretty much scalded the people that were in it.
Yeah.
So a flashpoint, and then the ships came down. But the ships came down because of internal errors, because their reactors had been overheated. They reached critical mass. And that was
right.
Cause of a lot of those ships back in the 40s. Since then, the Greys have modified their ships with heavier shielding, and they don't have that problem. But they're not. We have technology partially given to us by them that allows us to shoot them down if it's necessary. However,
wow.
These higher technologies, these big ships that we see, that stuff that works on the Greys doesn't work on them.
Right.
So there's most races now. They also try to say that there's no harm. Well, the Greys have caused a tremendous amount of harm because of their abductions and their implantations.
Yes.
So I would consider them to be harmful, whereas the Andromedans and the Pleiadians typically don't abduct people. They make contact with them.
You know, right.
If it works out, then they transport them to different places, but they don't do it against their will.
It seems like I remember listening to somebody on the radio talking about basically that the Andromedans told the Greys to get off the planet, and they had a specific amount of time to do that.
Yeah, I think it's more like the Pleiadians. But
yeah.
The Pleiadians and the Greys have been at war in a kind of roundabout way for quite a while.
Really, they have.
Yeah, they have. They don't get along too well.
Right. Do the Andromedans are much more advanced than both of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, their lifespan is 5 times that of a Pleiadian.
Wow.
And in this book that I'm reading, Alien Mind,
yeah,
it talks about beings far beyond the Andromedans that have lifespans that deal in, you know, bang to, in other words, reconstructions of universes, and they can supersede that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much almost timeless.
Mm-hmm.
You start looking at infinity and realizing that there are, you know, bridges within the infinity, and there are beings that live in those bridges. They definitely have what we would call godlike powers, you know.
Okay.
But that consciousness exists, and from it we can perceive that it exists. But
yes.
Don't think we'll be making contact with those types of beings in the near future. The other thing that I've noticed is that because there are more people using quantum devices,
mm-hmm.
ones we make and some other people make, the field itself, it seems to be expanding into a subconscious level, so that people are automatically being led to have these experiences, for example, with the receptors and the projectors and that.
Right.
We're seeing a tremendous amount of renewed interest at this point in time.
I've been doing some really good stuff here in the city with my receptor. It seems like every time when I wear my receptor, you know, the gold one with the platinum bridge, there's still a lot of growth that's happening with that. But I presume that the new necklaces are much more advanced than the nuclear receptor. But I'm still having so much fun with the nuclear receptor.
I'm finding
out that remember the negativity you had your home?
When we first moved out here, you mean?
Not in Temecula, but the one in
Laguna,
and you asked me to clear the house out, and I did, and I was picking up a lot of negativity under the ground, and we cleared that out. But I'm starting to clear city blocks.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Doing the same thing that I did for you, I'm doing for city blocks now. So it's been like, I don't know how many years it's been since we did that, but there's a lot of energy out there that's, I'm finding, that's really untapped.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to tap into this energy, and I know there's a lot of quantum healing going on with what I'm doing. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that I don't think we know exactly how powerful these nuclear receptors are, or the new receptors.
No,
and
we don't. Yeah.
Right. So I'm tapping into new energies And the new energies are allowing me to be able to clear out a whole city block in terms of negativity.
Yeah, no, that's quite possible. It's pretty easy to do, I imagine, once you tune into that frequency, you know, the whole block.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So these necklaces are very practical. They can be used so beautifully well. We just need really to open up our minds and allow everything to just go. Just let everything go and just, you know, what I'm doing is opening up my heart more and closing down my mind. In other words,
yeah,
I'm not using my mind anymore as much as I am using my heart.
Yeah, the mind is just a logic tool, you know?
Right.
That's all it really is good for. I mean, great for thought experiences in physics and like Einstein used to do. Some of the
right.
other Schrodinger did that. But the heart is, you get a feel for it, and you can intuitively grasp a scientific principle that could be unfathomable. And with using, you know, you'd have to go for many years of school and learn lots of physics and to do it, to get it to the mind level. But from the heart level, you can instantaneously absorb it and
yes.
get a result. And then
yes.
later on, figure out what it is. I mean,
that's
the way I've
yeah.
always worked that way. You know.
Right, right, right. So what I found with the nuclear receptor that I have is that it's a round circle of light. I can't explain it, Fred. It's small. It goes around the receptor, around the hole, maybe about a quarter inch higher than the hole. But the light, the stars that are there, are they're very well placed. I mean, it's just not something that I'm making up. It's something that I'm seeing. And I'm not even paying attention to that other than to tell you that there are stars that are forming around the nuclear receptor that I'm seeing. So it's powerful, Fred. These necklaces are so powerful. It's like a whole new universe. It's just absolutely incredible. So I'm playing around with these things, and I'm still learning so much from them. And
whenever we develop these things, like we don't have literature, for example, on the new ones. We just say that
right.
they're there.
And I mean, I can't wait to get one to play around with it, but
yeah.
even the older nuclear receptors, I'm still growing with it. And
yeah, you'll always grow because your body has reversed the aging frequencies, and once the aging frequencies are reversed, then, you know, you're either shriveling up on the vine or you're growing on the vine. There's no
yeah.
hovering
yeah.
on the vine.
Yeah.
So
it's
yeah, you're moving.
So it's so interesting to see these round little stars. They're very small and but they're so powerful. So I don't know what it does other than it does. And hello.
Hello, yes, hello. Steve,
hi.
Dr. Bell, this is Garth again, the gentleman from last week. We spoke last week.
Oh, yeah. How are you doing?
Yes,
yeah, from
hi.
New Jersey. I'm doing well. Just want to let you guys know that I got the receptor, a garnet one. I figured I'll start with that one first before I jump into the other one as well that you, Dr. Bell, had.
Well, yeah, the more expensive one, in other words. Yeah.
Right.
You got the starter model.
Right.
So what's happening?
Oh, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I got it on Tuesday. It will be a Thursday, and I've been wearing it ever since. I feel a little more balanced.
Yeah, that's
kind of
that's
weird to explain it. It's just
yeah.
it's. I
yeah.
feel balanced.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. I feel balanced. I feel. I also feel. Not that I wasn't confident, but I don't know. I just feel, I guess balance is the best way to say it. This is a little bit more confidence when I'm wearing the actual receptor. I'm very pleased at this point.
Yeah, well, you got to realize that you're wearing on a scale of 100, where that's the more
yeah.
powerful, and you're wearing one that's about a 3, just so you understand. And what you're probably experiencing are two things in your body chemistry. One is that you're detoxing, you're going through some, probably a radiation detox. Radiation causes people to have pent up feelings of claustrophobia and paranoia. And secondly, you're probably getting a small carbon monoxide removal and the effects of negative ionization. So the body has to, the body reproduces cells at the rate of 90 million per second. And when you're in a smoggy area or automobile exhaust area, then 90 million cells per second drops down to about 5 million cells per second. So you lose about 80% or 85% of your reproductive power, which then spews into your immune system. So when you reverse all that, your immune system, which is your consciousness, starts to wake up again from the, you know, industrial fog that it's been subjected to all your life. And that's why you're describing perfectly the feelings that come with the receptor. That's exactly what it's supposed to do. And if I remember correctly, you were a bit skeptical. I mean, you weren't just like saying this is the answer. You wanted to try it, make sure, like you were like from Missouri, the attitude. So that was the feeling.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I say absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You weren't just jumping into this as a way out to hide behind something because of some other issue that you've got going on, like some people try to do. But even the people that do that, and I know you're not, but some people that do that, the receptor even brings them out of their side issues, you know. And it's interesting how it affects people, you know. Look at Steve Barish. He's sane now.
Absolutely. I'm happy. I'm happy to this point, so I have it on now.
Yeah, good. And I've got mine on. I've got one of the older style ones on. It's a gold one, but I'm wearing it because sometimes I have to wear the projector. But right lately, last week or two, I've had to wear this. It's just, you get a better feeling when you wear it. I mean, a much better feeling when you wear it. Otherwise, industrial chemistry out there is not doing a good thing for your body. Did you get any books or anything, too?
Oh, absolutely. I got, I got the receptor. I got Rays of Truth, the crystal, what is it? The book, hold on. I got it here at my desk here. Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light, and I got the Shu Wu.
Polygon Multiforum, Fotai, the actual herbal name. Yeah, that's an electrolyte that works very well with the receptor in the pyramids that we make. How do you like the Shawuzi?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. I mean, the taste doesn't bother me, nay the little, so I'm fine with it.
So how much did you drink when you first got it? When the bottle arrived?
I cracked it open and took a couple swigs to the head.
Yeah, how'd you feel?
I felt great. You know what? I'll tell you what. When I first did it, actually every morning I take it now for the past couple days, and what I do feel, it's like I feel a sensation coming from the base of my spine going straight up into my head.
That's a pretty powerful feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to guess it. You know, people, you know, Americans especially like instant thrills. And I think the Shawuzi is our leader product for an instant thrill. If you do a whole shot of that, whether it be in the morning or at night, one shot of that stuff, you know, in a 1 ounce shot glass, it'll perk you right up.
Oh, no question. No question. I mean, I enjoy that as well, too. So I do it every morning. I'll take a nice swig of it in the morning and then go about my day. I feel that tingling sensation starting from the base of my spine and it goes straight on right into my head.
Yeah, you're getting the kundalini effect.
Something.
Have you got our trace minerals yet?
No, I didn't get the trace minerals yet. I'm going to make an order for that as well, too.
Yeah, because what happens now, once you do the Shawuzi, when you take the trace minerals about an hour later, or even a half an hour later, after you get the initial rush from the Shawuzi, the trace minerals kind of just keeps your body feeling that good all day long. It's a little bit, because it's got the other, it's got the Gota Cola and ginseng in it, which the Fotai doesn't have. So you're taking a huge shot of Fotai, and then the trace minerals add the other two, and those are what we call the big three in the herb business for, you know, for firing up the kundalini of the body and making the chi forces work. And if you're a martial artist, that's the stuff you want, or a boxer, any kind of physical activity. that requires thought and action. These are the elixirs to really make you go really good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Dr. Bell, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've been hearing, and my girlfriend thinks I'm crazy, but I said I know what I'm hearing. Like I have a fish tank, and sometimes I'm hearing what appears to be voices, like almost like when you're on the phone and someone intercepts your, like you get a line break and you hear somebody's conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing them in running water. I've heard it in my fish tank. And I've heard it in my shower and the sink in the kitchen as well. I've heard it a couple times now.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for the past month.
We're very familiar with that phenomenon. We have a waterfall in our bedroom that does that. You remember back in the days of the, probably before your time, but we used to make crystal sets. We would take a cat whisker or a diode, and we would hook it onto a coil and a set of headphones. And then we would connect the other end of the coil to a radiator, a heat radiator, or some large metal, and you could hear a radio stations in the headphones. You follow me? Because of the rectifying action of the selenium diodes that we used in those days. And if you were way back in the day, you would have had a piece of quartz crystal with a little wire poked into it in a sensitive spot, and that would have been called a cat whisker. And so what happens is there's so much radiation out there now that on the AM and FM bands and other bands that any kind of time that water is running, it creates an effect from depending on the minerals that are in your water, it actually creates a rectifying effect of the radio frequencies, and it breaks it down to an audible component. So you really can't tune to what radio station you're listening to or what agency. Or if somebody's beaming at you, it's really hard to tune into what it is because you don't have a tuning capacitor on it. But you definitely hear a lot of it going on. And if you focus on it, you'll hear a particular individual station or an individual something or other. Or sometimes you just hear conversations, you know.
Yeah.
That's common now. We can alleviate a lot of that with a device we have called a Star Orb, if you don't like it, you know. But a Star Orb is a device that hooks up to your refrigerator and to your, you ground it out, and you hook it up to your electrical wires, your ground plug on your plug on your house, and it gets rid of it, most of it. But I'm used to it now. If it gets too loud, obviously you're going to want to get rid of it. But that's a pretty common phenomenon. The other area that we see that phenomenon is when people are being targeted, by different agencies to, you know, cause a form of electronic harassment. And those people get it probably a lot stronger than you do, and to the point where it affects your thinking process. And that's when we use other types of devices we make to negate that process. So you're describing a pretty common phenomenon now for anyone with any kind of a good bandwidth in their hearing, you know. So obviously your bandwidth is pretty good because you're able to hear that through waterfalls.
I spoke my girlfriend out. She was in the other room. It was funny because she was standing next to the fish tank, and I was in the other room. And then as I was walking towards the room, I heard that. I said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And she was like, "What are you talking about?" I said, I know what I heard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I knew exactly where it was coming from because it wasn't outside. There was no movement outside. It was just the running water. And
yeah, no, that's what it is.
It was real strange.
Have you had that experience yet, Steve?
Yeah, I had that a long time ago, and I talked to a guy that was pretty aware, and he was talking about that sometimes if you have metal in your teeth, that could bring it on also.
It becomes a radio set in your mouth.
Right. But I've had that in the bathroom where I'll be showering and I'll be listening to music. Really wild. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the way it is. There's tremendous amounts of radiation. And the problem with that is it's affecting the neural systems in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wear the nuclear receptor, you're still going to hear it, but it's not going to harm you. Your body is able to process it.
Right. Do muscle testing
to prove that. Yeah, I could take somebody and put them near a waterfall, not Niagara Falls, because the power there is too great to hear anything, but I mean a normal small waterfall, and test them and have them listen for it. When they hear it, then they'll test weak and then put the receptor on them, and then they'll test. They'll still hear it, and they'll
right.
go strong. It won't affect them anymore.
Right, right, right.
Wow. And one last question, Dr. Bell. Because you mentioned last week that chromosomes, they feed or like on feed or like black holes. And I know it was towards the end of the show. Why do they feed or like black holes, I guess, is my question.
Because, you know, from my point of view, is that God, you know, God is, man is the image of God, and everything that man has ever invented is based, you can find some human anatomical system within the human body that it reflects the science that the outer body is working on or researching on. It's always some internal principle.
Mm,
and because
right.
our body works internally that way, our body is just a expression of the universe itself. Matter of fact, I talked to a Pleiadian once a long, long time ago and asked them, I said, do you ever get outside of the, you know, the universe folds in on itself, that it's not endless. Some people that don't understand physics think the universe is constantly expanding. It's not constantly expanding, it's folding in on itself. The Pleiadian, it appears that way because, you know, it's like we thought the Earth was flat, but when we started going, looking to the edge of the Earth where it was flat, we ended up coming back to where we left from. You follow me? And that's
right.
how the black hole
right.
works in energy. And what happens is the Pleiadians told me that they had developed a technology that took them outside the fold of the universe itself, and then when they looked back at the universe unfolding itself, it was in the shape of a human, a man. I thought
wow.
I thought that was really interesting. I learned that about 20 years ago. I'd seen
wow.
it in meditations, but I never had anybody tell me they'd seen it physically except the Pleiadians. And I pretty much trust what they say because they don't lie, you know.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Yeah, so wow. that's why your chromosome, it's nothing more than a cosmic principle that's unfolding itself on a physical level. Because remember, without the chromosomes, you can't reproduce cells. The mitosis process doesn't work. And you can't say,
right.
yeah, you don't say that mitosis is a principle of the human body. It's a principle of everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're striving for, in physics, to have the theory of everything. And instead of just, you know, one theory or another theory, the theory of all of it. And that's
mm-hmm.
kind of where
right.
science is going now, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, wow, that is excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And that's why when you get into devices like the receptor and the projector, these are devices that I didn't really develop. They were given to me, and they're based on mathematics and principles of the universe that send out radiations into the body and allow the body to re-evaluate itself into the proper architecture that it's losing in an environmentally hazardous situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a bio, that's why we call it, you know, quantum biology, because that's where biology is going now. For a long time,
right.
we called it electrical precursation, or forces that were necessary in order to, in other words, there was an intelligence to create the cell in the first place in the proper direction, if you were evolving or de-evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And science took
wow.
the de-evolution out to a gene called a telomere. And at that point, science stumbled. It couldn't go beyond that. It worked with life extension, working on the telomere to make it last longer and not be the last stage of a DNA reproduction. But now that we're in
right.
quantum, we can go beyond the telomeres. We can go beyond that, and the aging process can eventually become infinite. You know? In other words,
wow.
how do you think these beings like the Greys can live 200 years, 250, the Pleiadians can live, you know, 1,500, 2,000 years, the Andromedans 5,000 years, because they've overcome that basic telomere problem, which is present in any carbon-based life form.
Hmm.
Cool stuff, huh?
Dr. Bell, let me ask you this, too. Have you ever asked the Palladians why do they have, you know, like the pyramids of Giza, the pyramid of Giza, or Khufu's pyramid or whatever, is like 52 degrees or 51 degrees, and the Sun Pyramid in Mexico is 43 degrees. I'm assuming that these pyramids were created at these angles for specific purposes to create whatever they were trying to manifest. Because I've been, you know, doing a little research on pyramids and stuff, and I'm looking at all of these different angles, and I'm wondering what was the purpose of them for the different angles as opposed to just using a uniform angle.
The different angles send energies into different levels of consciousness. For example, the octahedron pyramid with the fifth angle that we're normally used to, it's the same structure as hemoglobin in the body, okay, and a lot of the brain cells. If you mess around with your hemoglobin and you end up with blood disease by bringing the pyramid, an actual pyramid like a receptor, which has lots of pyramids on, or a normal pyramid that you construct near the body, it will reinduce the proper frequencies into the body. That's why they built these giant pyramids for healing purposes. That when you get into a tetrahedron, which would be a six-sided pyramid, you're starting to look at chlorophyll. Chlorophyll in plants is like blood in humans. So it becomes something that nature, the carbon dioxide forms that live on, carbon dioxide live on, relate to. So each shape or each geometry has to do with a particular life form and its vitality abilities and its resonance abilities. And that's why there's so many different shapes. There's dodecahedrons, octahedrons, you know, tetrahedrons. Each hedral form feeds some form of life force. They're just not spontaneous. And you can observe these things. One way to observe them is to take a piece of metal and put some powder on it, like salt, and run a violin bow across the edge of the metal, and you'll see the shapes, all these different shapes start to form just from the resonant sound of the violin bow going across a piece of metal. So there's lots of ways of observing this phenomena. It's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah, because I know the Earth is a dodecahedron, and then I was reading also in a magazine, some Russian scientists said that the lithosphere is a icosahedron, which I found interesting. The exterior of the planet is dodeca, and the interior, just the crust layer there, is icosahedron, which I found interesting.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've got a curious mind, and you're probably gonna be heading into some, when you get into some of our real serious products, because they open up blockages, you know, which we all have. I use all my stuff. I invented most of the stuff to use personally because I figured it worked, and it does. And I just started, we never advertised in our company ever. And lately, the last few years, but the first 10 years, we ran no ads, strictly word of mouth, what do you feel, does it work for you kind of thing. That's how we started this operation. That's how we still pretty much run it, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, the young lady that helped me, she was really, really nice and helpful. And I definitely will be purchasing from you guys more and more. I like that the Chinese mix, and I'm going to get the other receptor. I'm going to hang on to this one for a little bit and just get the feeling and get it, and then upgrade to probably, I don't know,
silver. Yeah, go out to the silver one and give that one to your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, you know, and, you know, keep it in the family. And then you might want to you might want to get a few pyramids and put them over your vitamins and your shawusi and stuff, you know, like our vitamins. They're not very expensive. Just have a few of them around your place there so the energy is prevalent. And then eventually I think you sound like a good candidate for a star orb at some point. Rebecca can talk to you about those. You haven't spoken to her yet, but she's pretty good. She loves to build star orbs. She builds them all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Sell them all over the place. Love them. Yeah, just look it up in the book. It explains it in the book, The Rays of Truth.
All right, cool. I definitely will do that. Well, Dr. Bell, I ain't going to hold up your line because I can ask you questions all night long. But I said, you and Steve, I thank you guys, and I'll be listening next week, and if I have another question, I'll give you guys a ring.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right.
You know what's interesting, Fred? I've been using the nuclear receptor and the projector. I think that the projector is allowing me to see this round circle of light.
Yeah.
The other thing is that when I look at this star of light around the center of the nuclear receptor, the nuclear receptor actually disappears, and the only thing I see is this light that's going around.
Probably. What color is the light?
Pure white light.
Yeah, so you're developing a higher bandwidth, a wider bandwidth in your vision cortex now.
Okay.
Your visionary cortex. That's what Buddy Boo said. Occasionally he'll start squawking and actually get involved in a conversation. But
that's wonderful.
Being a bird, you never know what you're going to get. You know, birds can be very logical and very grounded 1 minute and squawking the next. Yeah. It's fun.
You really enjoy him. Yeah.
Yeah, the last couple of days he's been following me around in the kitchen, you know. Usually he ignores me.
Uh-huh.
A couple of days he's been following me around, you know. Climbing, I was working on a model sailboat last night for the pond.
Right.
And I was out there on the kitchen table and kitchen table and Bella was out there and he was out there. And he picked up a Phillips screwdriver and started out, you know, he wouldn't put it down. He held
really?
Drop it. He tried to screw something with it, and then he'd drop it. He's very mechanical. And then today when I was working on, well, I worked on that boat for about 2 hours last night. And
right.
Big sailboat, about, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet tall,
wow.
And a mast, huge. And so the birds are all on there working it with me, and he just couldn't get away from it. So this morning when I got up, I went out in the living room. I had put it in the living room because it's pretty damn big, and it takes up the kitchen. So I stuck it on the living room floor and was sitting there on a chair next to it working on it. And here
right.
he comes again to work on it some more, you know.
Yeah.
He loves sailboats.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's a
bird. Are we going to be going to New York?
No, not this year.
Oh, we're not going to New York. Okay.
No.
All
you
right.
can go. You could start being a distributor over there and giving lectures. I could hook you up where you could go down there and do a show if you want and make some money.
That might not be a bad idea.
Kind of late now because the program's in 2 weeks, but I can hook you up for the spring show. You know, there's one in March.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, but I think I'd like to, you know, because I could really sell this thing. The
receptor. Oh, they know who you are in New York. You could do a lecture. I could set you up. You do really well.
Yeah, I'm going to think about that, Fred. I'm really going to think about it.
Yeah, you could easily make enough money to buy yourself some of the newest technology that we have here.
Yeah, I'd like to get that. Also, I think the technologies of this new receptor are much, much more than the older receptor.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole
I don't have one, Fred, to play with.
Yeah,
but,
well, I've had them play with, and believe me, they're a lot different.
Okay.
It's way different than the projector, and it's way different. That's why I've been trying to sell the one I got, but for some reason, I don't wear it for a while, and I put it back on. It feels pretty good, so maybe I'll keep it, and I'll just save up and get one of the... You know, people don't realize some of these things are pretty expensive, and just because I own the company doesn't mean that I can just go out and buy this stuff for myself, because I got to pay for gold and copper and gold and platinum, rather, just like everybody else.
Of course.
And it costs thousands of dollars to make the pieces I like to wear.
Yep.
And the economy is not saying that here's that money yet, you know?
Yep. I know exactly how you feel.
I got to keep my health paid and, you know, I got to keep my, you know, everything paid up, insurances and overhead, and we're doing fine with that. But I just don't have that extra change I used to have a few years ago, you know?
Yep, I know what you mean.
You know, it's pretty neat when you can invest in your own stuff.
Yep.
And use it and enjoy it. So eventually I'll get one, and I'll know more about it, you know. I don't want a silver one, though. I want to get a solid gold one with a platinum bridge, and I want the Ankh model.
What I want.
It's got 22 diamonds on it. It ain't cheap to take.
Nope.
It ain't cheap at all.
Yeah, but the thing is that the technology of it, Fred, can really advance you. I mean, that's the whole idea of it, is to learn as much as we can.
Yeah. Well, I was able to wear that one I made for Wes, that platinum one.
Yes.
It was platinum with a gold bridge, but it was a white gold bridge, and then it was platinum covered on top of that. And boy, did that thing
feel
so good. But then I made another one for another guy, and I made a solid gold one with a platinum bridge, like the one I want.
Right.
I wore that, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of that projector energy in there.
Right.
But it wasn't a projector. It was not. You know, it connects, it makes your life consciousness, you know, linear.
Wow.
Linear.
Anyhow,
we're out of time.
Wow, that fast?
Yeah, that was quick. So anyhow, you can put out your phone number and stuff.
Yeah, it's area code 585-746-8321. If you need to know any information on the Fred Bell, what we're talking about, the necklaces, I'm more than happy to help you.
Yeah, and you've had any of my clients recently?
I haven't had anybody call me, Fred, in a while.
They will.
In about 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, we're still waiting. Probably because we haven't shipped a bunch of it yet. We're just getting ready to do a big shipping.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, all right. This is Dr. Fred Bell. My number is 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. And we have Buddy Boo here. He can reach him at 1-800-BIRD, because he's a bird, right? Or you can tweet and squawk. Tweeting, I guess, is the way to reach Buddy Boo, because he tweets. So anyhow, we're going to sign off. Our website is Paradyne.com, and you can type us in on the search engine as Dr. Fred Bell. See you next Thursday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.